on February 1st. They did a wonderful job in teaching activists about Oregon ethics laws. Also, in keeping with that, I want to again encourage all of the other commissioners to consider the various civic organizations that they belong to and think about ways that we could encourage more people to become familiar with ethics laws so they can become engaged in their democratic processes and be able to build a culture of following ethics laws in the state of Oregon. Those are the comments that I had.
Mr. Chair, may I make one comment, seeking your indulgence to do so?
Sure, absolutely. Next, I was going to ask if any commissioners wanted to add anything.
Mr. Chair, I would only say a couple things. First of all, thank you for your tolerance of me being on the phone at the last meeting. It was a way to participate, and I did vote, as you heard, but it was hard for me without a picture to see when it could be my chance to talk, and that maybe is a good thing because I didn't talk much.
Mm-hmm. That's an applause line.
beyond that, with regard to items 18 through 23 on our January 25th agenda, don't go look at them now. With your permission, or tell me the approach, I would like to make some comments about those matters, which, to remind you, revolve around a person who said he was a media representative, the city of Lincoln City, and executive session issues. I could make some comments based on two pieces of background that some of you may know or may not know that I have, which is one, I was a daily newspaper reporter once in my past, and secondly, I was a press secretary for governor. So I have some thoughts about those matters, that matter that was before us, and I could put those in writing and send it to all of you as an addendum to the agenda, as opposed to taking more time this morning. That would be my desire, Mr. Chair, with your permission.
Absolutely. Write up whatever you think is relevant, and I'm sure that we'll all take a very good look at it. Maybe that'll help us contribute.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other commissioners?
I could just make one quick comment. I'm sorry. Would you send that to me? And
I'll absolutely. I appreciate it. I was going to ask you how to do
thank
that,
you.
But thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Commissioner Mason.
And Chair Burke, I just wanted to give a compliment to Trainer Tammy, who I sat through her presentation at the Western Liberty Network event. And it was a packed room. Of activists who believe in, they're limited government folks. And so it was an interesting crowd for her to speak to in that sense. She was amazingly professional, incredible presentation. She told me later that I made her nervous, slightly nervous, by being in there. Yeah, you couldn't tell. And she made me proud of being affiliated with this organization based on how professional and impressive her presentation was. And then later, Senator Boquist had came in the back of the room, sat down, and watched the presentation as well, and he was impressed too. So some folks don't always get compliments in public, and I want to make sure that we properly recognize her for her efforts.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Mason. Yes.
This is a little bit off topic, but I just wanted to say how, I attended the memorial service for Secretary Richardson yesterday, and I know we're all public servants and care a great deal about the state, as did he. And I thought a lot of the comments about public service that were offered during the memorial were meaningful. And if you weren't able to attend, I would just encourage my fellow commissioners to try to pull up some of the statements, because they're inspiring and they also are sort of a call to action. And so, for what it's worth, then, I just wanted to share that.
Thank you, Commissioner Sugar. Anything else? Okay, we'll start on the business agenda immediately. However, I would like to change the order of the day if folks think that would be appropriate. What I'm thinking is we go through the consent calendar and go into item number 20, and then after that we go into executive session, because a number of the folks that are observing today have issues with regard to executive session, and I don't want to have them have to sit here all day while we go through that. So that's what we'll do. Without objection, we'll change the orders of the day to go into executive session after item 20. Okay. Okay, we will go into the consent calendar.
Approval of minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Number two is approval of the minutes. Does not require a motion. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Okay. Seeing none, minutes are approved. Now we'll go into the consent calendar. So we have quite a few items on the consent calendar. Are there any items that any of the commissioners would like to pull off for separate consideration?
Chair, this is Carly Edwards. I don't have anything I'd like to pull, but I do want to, just in the abundance of transparency, note that I formerly worked with two of the folks on the consent agenda, and that I previously worked for the Oregon Nurses Association, which is also in our packet today.
Okay, it is so noted. And by the way, I didn't know you were on the phone, so are you able to hear all right? It sounds like you are.
Yes, I am. I apologize. I thought I wouldn't be there because of weather, but then when I went to leave this morning, found I had a flat tire, so.
Yeah.
That's not good.
And that's not good. Well, we're glad you're able to join us on the phone. Thank you. All right, so I see no initiatives from commissioners to remove items from the consent agenda, so I'll entertain a motion to adopt the consent agenda.
I was just going to say we can do that on block, right?
Yes.
Rather than individually.
That's correct.
I think that's okay. Thank
that's
you.
Correct.
I move to adopt the consent agenda.
Commissioner Sugar moves to adopt the consent agenda. Without objection. Does this require a roll call vote?
No.
Okay. Consent agenda is adopted.
All in favor.
Okay.
All in favor
say aye.
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 Those opposed? Now the consent agenda is adopted. Still getting used to this. Okay, very, very well. Now on to number 20 and stipulated final orders in the matter of Ms. Sylvia Hayes. We have a number of folks who would like to speak on this issue, and I have a sheet here. Has everyone had a chance to sign the sheet who wants to? Okay, very well. So I'm going to go in order here.
Yes. You might ask for the staff report first. Is that what we normally do?
Very well. Mr. Burton.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, helpful to have the staff report.
I agree.
Enrolled for us before we hear comments.
Yeah, like I said, I'm still getting used to this, so we'll go to the staff report.
Before we get started on this, I have a question for our council. On page 71, should it be a stipulated final order?
The title, you mean?
Yes. It's on page 71 of my packet.
I can speak to that.
I think that
it's part of my...
Okay.
Thank you. Presentation.
Chair Burke, Commissioners, Sylvia Hayes was First Lady and unpaid policy advisor to the Governor of Oregon on issues of clean energy, ocean health, and a clean economy from January 2011 to February 2015. During this same period, Ms. Hayes and her private for-profit consulting business received contracts to advocate, write, and speak on these same issues. By not separating her public work as First Lady and policy advisor from her paid consulting work, Ms. Hayes violated the ethics laws by using her official position to solicit and secure funding for these private contracts and availing herself of the resources and staff of the governor's office and other state agencies to fulfill the contracts. On January 5, 2018, the commission made preliminary findings that Ms. Hayes' actions constituted 16 violations of the prohibited use of official position statute, 5 violations of the conflict of interest statute, and 1 violation of the gift limit. Ms. Hayes maintains she did not intentionally use her official position in the governor's office to advance the financial interests of herself or her private business. The commission made no finding that Sylvia Hayes intentionally used her official position in a prohibited manner because intent is not a necessary element of the statute. The civil penalty agreed to by Ms. Hayes is $44,000, which is at the top of the proposed range of $22,000 to $44,000, according to the commission's penalty matrix, which is contained in administrative rule. Although Ms. Hayes does not agree with all the commission's contentions, she wishes to conclude this case and not contest the ultimate violations in this final order. Ms. Hayes signed the final order, which is in the meeting book for the commission's consideration. She is represented by attorneys Whitney Boyce and Josh Ewing, who are both present today on her behalf. And as far as the question about the stipulated final order, my understanding is, and maybe her attorney can talk more to this point, that one of the concerns was in the negotiations was that the wording stipulated come out of the order, because there were some things that she did not stipulate to, that she disputed. And those are included in the, if you read through, it includes her contentions of disagreement. So.
Okay.
But contesting certain allegations doesn't necessarily require that agreement in the final order to not be stipulated.
Yeah.
We can talk about that later, but I'm a little confused.
Are there any questions of staff? Okay. So,
Mr. Chair, I might have several, but I think I'd prefer to hear the comments first and then discuss generally after that.
Sure. Okay. Well, then we'll start on the list of people who'd like to speak on the matter. And the first one is Mr. Whitney Boyce, who I believe is...
So Josh Ewing is going to speak on behalf of Ms. Hayes this morning.
Josh Ewing. Okay, very well.
I'm Josh Ewing. I work with Whitney Boyce, who's right here. We represent Ms. Hayes. First, I'd just like to say that it's an honor to be here. I appreciate you allowing us to be here to deal with this matter. And without further ado, I'd like to read a statement from Ms. Hayes. Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, Executive Director Burson, Investigator Gould, first, please know that I respect the Commission, its mission, and the work that you do. I intend no disrespect to you or to the serious issues at hand by not appearing in person. My decision not to appear is an effort to avoid another news event that detracts from the important work of the Ethics Commission. Contrary to the narrative created by the media, I support maintaining high ethical standards and oversight of elected and public officials, and I fully support the work that you do. I take responsibility for my actions and decisions. I have already publicly apologized for the mistakes I have made, including entering a public position without being completely transparent about my past. I also apologize for not being careful or thorough enough getting adequate advice on how to handle potential conflicts of interest between my paid work and my involvement in Governor Kitzhaber's administration. Much of this long, difficult, and costly ordeal could have been avoided had I sought the advice of this commission at the beginning. I add only as explanation that I did not know that this was an option, and in retrospect would certainly have done so had I to do it over again. Although my time serving as First Lady of Oregon did not end as I would have wished, I am truly grateful and honored to have had the opportunity to serve the people of this great state. Unfortunately, my poor handling of potential conflicts of interest harmed the governor, state government, and the people of Oregon, something that could not have been further from my true intentions. The work on which I focused, including moving toward a saner, sustainable economy, tackling climate change, eradicating poverty, and trying to conserve and preserve a habitable environment for our children, remain important and critical objectives that I will continue to work towards for the rest of my life. I am proud of the work I did on those issues and the contributions that I was able to make, and I'm also saddened that my mistakes distracted from progress that could have been made. I acknowledge that I could and should have handled things differently. As it states in the final order, I am waiving my right to a contested case hearing and respectfully requesting that the Commission approve the final order to resolve this matter. As you have already noted, the mistakes I made were not intentional, but they were mistakes nonetheless, and I take responsibility for them. I believe it is time for me, all the other individuals involved, and for our state to move forward. I ask that you grant the opportunity to put this matter firmly in the past. Finally, I understand that one of the main objectives of the Commission is to educate the public and its servants about Oregon's code and culture of ethics. I hope that the pain of this process can lead to something positive. not only for the sustainable economy and poverty reduction goals I work towards while serving as First Lady, but also by helping future politicians, partners of politicians, and the citizens of Oregon to learn from this ordeal. Thank you for your time. Now this is me, Josh Ewing, speaking. There was something I forgot to add, and that I would like to thank Director Burson and Ms. Gold for their professionalism in working on this matter. They were admirable and tough opponents, but always fair and respectful and easy to deal with, and I think that speaks to the Commission as a whole and to them personally, and I wanted to thank them for that as well.
Thank you, Mr. Ewing. Are there any questions for Mr. Ewing? Yes, Commissioner Mason.
Thank you. just to be direct with you, if it was an honor to be here, you probably would have been here sooner. This is the first opportunity that you guys have taken advantage of to actually be in front of us. When I think that there's been at least three or four, maybe at least three opportunities where Ms. Hayes could have had her case presented before us, or between the preliminary phase, the investigative phase, and I guess today's the only day that you guys have taken advantage of that. So I guess that's, for me, it's hard to look at this case and say we should give a significant discount on the penalties that we have, voted on based on the investigation that it came through, to reduce it from $110,000 to $44,000. Is that correct? So our organization is obviously about education, but it's also about accountability. It's hard for me to say that this is an accountable situation to reduce the fines, and then from my understanding, it's going to be rolled into a bankruptcy situation. So if you could speak on that, that would be
great. I think what I can tell you is that I believe this is today a genuine effort from Ms. Hayes to accept responsibility. This is, to my understanding, the largest penalty that the Commission has issued, and I think that sends a message. I do believe that she is trying to acknowledge her mistakes and make an effort to resolve them and move forward. I appreciate what you're saying, and all I can tell you is that we are here today.
I just think if she was here in person, it would have been a more, sympathetic case. Because I think that, Governor Kitzhaber obviously came in with this situation, demonstrated, and frankly, demonstrated why he won four, statewide elections, and showed contrition, and frankly, we were very sympathetic, for what that family has gone through. But I think that, there's been a contesting of whether she was a public official for several years. Is that correct? Because I think you guys contested whether she should even be, under the ethics law based on whether she was a public official or not. Now at the very last moment, when your client is basically requesting a reduction of the penalties to accept this, is when you guys finally make a case, or we frankly hear from your client. And I guess that's the one disappointing aspect of this, for me, when we have to cast a vote on whether we want to accept what's been negotiated between the director and yourself and your legal team, whether that's true level of accountability is being demonstrated, or if it's should be truly accepted by our commission.
I'm sorry. I just want to, say one thing in this negotiation process. I just want to tell the commissioners, as far as the money went, I think Josh was being nice and saying that, I was tough but fair, but I never moved on the money. Our matrix asked for $44,000, and that's what I stuck to the whole time. The negotiations were around some wording in here, and I think we've already pointed one out, trying to take the word stipulated out and just leave final order, which I believe, if Amy can correct me, has the same effect as it's saying stipulated final order, because still there's a settlement language in here. But I just want to be clear with the commission. As far as the dollars went, I was at the top of the matrix that we could charge for this, and that's where I stood. So that's why we're here now. I understand that law allows us to do $5,000 per, but we also wrote a rule that says how we'll kind of, you know, push that out. Now, there is in the rule an ability to go outside of the matrix, which is always put in those rules, but we have to have reason. But I just want to be clear with everybody that the negotiations weren't really about the money, because I never wavered on that amount. So it was really about language in here. So anyway,
that's... Well, and that's a great point. And so the matrix is specific. So should we be operating on the matrix alone, or?
Well, the matrix, we always use that word matrix, but it's actually an Oregon administrative rule that the commission adopted several years ago to try to have some consistency in how we give out fines. Sure. We sanction people. And quite frankly, when I came into the commission back in 2006, I looked at prior cases to see how people were fined previous to me coming on, and I could make no rhyme or reason out of it. So I did make a big push to try to get some kind of something for me to have some consistency. And like I said, that matrix is, since it's an administrative rule, it's controlled by us, or you folks as the commission, and that can be changed at any time. But that's what we've tried to use all along to find people. Now, I will tell you that some of the other settlements that you've seen, you know, there's a range inside of each category, so they get a number of points, and then there's a range. And there's a lot of times we're at the bottom of the range, sometimes we're in the middle of the range, and at this point we're at the top of the range. So so you folks are going to find the violations, but we are going to run, as the staff, we're going to run those violations through that administrative rule, because once it's adopted, it's actually a rule of law. So... But I just wanted to be really clear before we got into a lot of discussions about the dollar amounts that in those negotiations, the staff here did not waver. Myself, I did not waver on the dollar amount. It always stayed the same throughout the all the negotiations.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
That comment. So. I will say it's hard to want to go with the matrix when there's been, in my opinion, a deliberate attempt to not come in front of this commission. And so I would think if you come in before the commission in good faith, and you know, Governor Kitzhaber, perfect example of what that looked like, then you would go with, okay, we should, you know, I don't know, give a discount on the fees. I don't know how you want to explain it, but I mean, there's nothing here that looks like we should be reducing the penalties outside of obviously what you just explained on the administrative rule. That would apply. So I would not be supportive of this based on that. But I'm happy to be convinced otherwise by the other commissioners. Thank you.
Did you have something to say?
I did. I just wanted to recharacterize that a little bit, Commissioner Mason. That I think what Director Burson is trying to say is that there's a process and there's the rules and there's the matrix, which is how penalties are assessed here, and this is how all penalties will be assessed. Even if she didn't stipulate, that would be how penalties are assessed, and this is at the top of the matrix. You do have the ability to go outside the matrix. So I wouldn't call this a reduction. I would call this the presumption, but you do have an ability to go outside in extraordinary circumstances if you so choose to do that.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Sugar, did you have something to say?
No, I'm going to defer to my fellow commissioners.
Okay, very well.
Mr. Chair, with your indulgence, I'll defer to the vice chair.
You were first? Down.
Yeah, but I want to honor you by letting you go first. Go ahead.
Commissioner Sosa.
Hi. Mr. Ewing, I have a question for you. Your client's in bankruptcy. Is she actually going to pay $44,000 if we agree to that?
I am not a bankruptcy lawyer, and I don't represent her in the bankruptcy proceeding, so I don't think it's totally fair for me to give you advice on that issue.
Here's my concern. We have the potential to assess $110,000 against your client. If we agree to the stipulated final order or final order for $44,000, she runs it to the bankruptcy court and winds up paying pennies on the dollar. In my mind, that is yet again an instance of her escaping responsibility for what has happened here. So I have some concerns about that. I was hoping that could be addressed today, but it sounds like that question can't be answered by you folks. So, okay. Thank you.
But as just a question of my own, it is, as I understand it, the intention of Ms. Hayes to make whatever penalty she receives from this process a part of the creditors, which will be lumped into the bankruptcy hearing. Is that correct?
I believe so, and I believe it probably has to be based on my limited knowledge of bankruptcy.
Okay, very good.
I could speak to for a second. I will tell you that the bank, I think we've talked about this in prior meetings on updates that you folks have asked me to use, and there's a bankruptcy judge, and that judge has asked through our bankruptcy attorney, the Department of Justice, for an amount, and so that's the intention, is that we give them that amount that we owe, because right now they don't know how much she owes, because we haven't set that amount. So that is one thing that the bankruptcy court is looking for, is that amount from us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we've informed Carolyn Wade, our bankruptcy attorney, has informed the bankruptcy court that the presumptive number is $44,000, with the understanding this comes to the commission.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I just have two quick questions, and then I will hold some other comments pending Ms. Keene's questions or comments. For staff, in your, Ms. Gould, in your proceeding through this situation, did you ever have any kind of personal contact with Ms. Hayes, or was it always through her counsel?
No, she was always represented by counsel. Okay. The time that I've dealt with her, so I can't speak to her directly.
Fair answer. And one last question quickly before I yield. During your negotiations with counsel, her counsels, on the final order, was there ever any discussion in that context of a repayment schedule for the fine, whatever it turned out to be, as sometimes is the case in stipulated final orders, as I talked to you before the meeting, that it'll appear on our calendar later on. Was there ever any discussion of a repayment plan?
No, not in this instance. Okay. Sometimes those often happen after a settlement occurs, and then the person will ask, can I pay that in installments of over 6 months or a year or 10 years?
Thank you.
Okay.
I'll return in a moment with your permission, Mr. Chair.
Of course. Speaker list, Commissioner King, Commissioner O'Day, Commissioner Sugar. However, our legal counsel has popped up her sign, so is there something you need to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that I don't think a payment plan would be appropriate here because she is in a bankruptcy proceeding. So.
Thank you, counsel. I suspected that as a non-attorney, but I wanted to ask the question anyway, and I'll let you surmise why I asked it.
Okay, Commissioner Keene.
Thank you, Chair. I have a question and some comments. Mr. Ewing, everyone seems to know about Ms. Hayes' bankruptcy. I know that I've read a little in the newspaper. Can you tell me what the status is?
I believe that, I don't know the precise status. I think it's pending. And
what
I think.
Chapter?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
When did she file?
I'd be guessing, but she filed at least half a year ago, I think.
Is she permitted to discharge this sort of agreement in bankruptcy?
It is my understanding that this would be dischargeable, but again, I'm not her bankruptcy attorney.
Who is her bankruptcy attorney?
I believe she's represented by Mike Fuller.
Mm-hmm. And you know why he didn't come today?
I didn't ask him to come.
To me, it's very relevant if our order is going to be discharged.
course, we always stand that risk whenever we make impose fines that someone will file bankruptcy and it will be deemed dischargeable in bankruptcy. But here we are walking into it. And I feel very suspicious. I don't understand why the word stipulated was removed. It makes me think it has some effect in the bankruptcy. Our administrative rules state that a settlement shall be by stipulated final order, and the stipulated final order shall contain a short and plain statement of agreed facts. Can you tell me what part of this final order Ms. Hayes will not stipulate to?
I think that the word stipulate, to my understanding, it was not removed. I have no knowledge of it being removed for any reason whatsoever related to the bankruptcy. I think maybe it's more appropriate to think about it as a lawyer being overly cautious in working out an agreement. I have a history of negotiating civil settlements, and I put a lot of language that I do in civil settlements or ask to put in this final order.
Did you know that our administrative rules call it a stipulated final order and encourages the settlement to be by stipulated final order?
I do recognize that, and I think that I think the legal effect of the final order is no different than if it is captioned stipulated final order.
Then why don't we do it the way that our rules state? There's no difference legally.
It's what we negotiated. That's the best answer I can give you. I think now the commission gets to decide, do we want to go back? If we take this off the table, I think we're back to the position of having nothing resolved.
Right. Can you tell me which provisions in here your client does not stipulate to?
I don't really think that's the purpose of this meeting. I think that that's the purpose of a contested hearing. And
no, this is a hearing on whether we are going to pass something that is outside of the normal, outside of our administrative rules provisions. And I've been told that you, and you just said, have negotiated removal of a word that is in our administrative rules. To remove the word stipulated from settlement agreement seems very tricky to me. When you sign a settlement agreement, you are agreeing with what is in there. Mm-hmm. And then to take out the word stipulated makes it seem like you're not really agreeing. Like later she'll say, well, I didn't stipulate to that. I might have signed it, but I didn't stipulate it to it. It doesn't make sense to me. And it makes me think that something funny is going on. And it just adds to my, I'm very disappointed and surprised that your client's not here today. I'm actually stunned at the poor strategy that shows. It is part of this commission's role is to educate as well as to hold people accountable. And part of that holding them accountable is walking into the room here. It's not a room full of media. The governor was here, and there was a room full of media. Now, he is a politician and used to that. I get that it must be awfully unpleasant. But it's also quite disrespectful. And somewhat coupled with this trickiness about the stipulated final order, it gives me great pause. I feel like I could turn on the news tomorrow after this is signed and hear her say, I never agreed to any of that. I signed it so I could get my reduced fee, but I don't agree with anything that was said in there. I also want to note that our statutes do allow for a doubling of damages for any amount that was gotten in violation of ORS 244-040, which is the misuse of official position. So 110 is not our max. So I guess I was hoping today to hear assurances that this whatever settlement we had would not be discharged in bankruptcy. The fact that it's basically being acknowledged that that's the goal, or that that will be what happens, makes me think that it's unwise of us to not go to the maximum. Because I don't feel like there has been any real education here. Or an acknowledgement even of the multiple violations. And our matrix does provide the staff with guidelines for negotiation and for bringing us something. It also allows the commission to decide on its own what the penalty shall be under the statutory scheme. And particularly in a matter that involved the highest office in the state, I think that is an appropriate place for us to use the power that the statute gives to the commission rather than being tied to a matrix that is a guidance.
Okay. Thank you very much. Speaker list now includes Commissioner O'Day, Commissioner Sugar, and Ron Burson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll yield to Commissioner Sugar. Commissioner Keene covered the ground that I wanted to cover quite well.
Thank you. I definitely agree with you. Commissioner Keene covered a great deal of the ground I was considering as well. But I'd like to come back to a couple of items. And I'm going to ask counsel again, what portions of this document does your client, and the factual allegations in paragraph 3, A through goes to like double C, does your client object to or refuse to stipulate to?
I think the best example I can give you has to do with the premium platinum travel points, and that she wasn't aware that she got it and she didn't ever intend to use it. Well, I think that's the most obvious example.
So would she stipulate to everything but that paragraph?
I think what I can... All I can tell you today is that she signed this paper before you.
I'm aware. But my question is, if we leave today and insist on a stipulated final order that includes, you know, when you started today, you read a statement from your client in which she said she was taking full responsibility for what she had done. But this document does not do that. She does not take responsibility. She allows an entry of an order based on certain facts, and she chooses not to contest it. But that is very, very different from taking full responsibility. And so I would like, personally, and as a commissioner here, to see an actual taking of responsibility. And that's what I'm asking you. Other than the platinum point, is there anything else that she would not stipulate to?
I think what I can tell you is that this is what was negotiated, and
the commission
is in a position to accept it or not. Sounds like the commission doesn't want to, and then we're back to square one.
Commissioner Fiskin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would say a couple things, obviously, for the record. I want to associate myself with Ms. Keene's, Ms. Sugar's, and Mr. O'Day's concerns, and they, as attorneys of in their own right, can state the issues that exist better than I. From my vantage point, I think it's critical by whatever action we take, whenever we take that action, to send a clear message that taking advantage of public office for private gain is a very substantial violation. For me, in fact, this is the most important ethical violation we consider in cases that come before us. I rate it, for example, personally, perhaps not legally, is higher than the conflict of interest statutes, higher than the executive session statutes, higher than the gift limit statutes. In this case, we have an investigation that showed that Ms. Hayes violated that statutory prohibition on a number of occasions, perhaps in the range of 15, if I'm counting right, and I might not be, but it is in that ballpark. For me, they breached the public trust, and our aspiration should be that all public officials, those elected, those appointed, those who market themselves as public officials, demonstrate behavior of the highest ethical standard. For me, ethical conduct means two things. First and foremost, it's how you behave, in public and in private. Secondly, it's how you comply with state elections, state ethics laws. It's what I said when I stood for confirmation to this commission a couple of years ago or so. It's what I believe today, and on both scores, I believe Ms. Hayes failed. I also noted paragraph double A, page 7, the final order, where Ms. Hayes maintains she did not intentionally use her position as First Lady or unpaid advisor to advance the interests of herself or her business. Frankly, let me put this bluntly, I don't care about intent. What I care about is results. We as a commission have faced that before. Anybody who appears before us could say, I did not intend to do that. For me, the question is, what did you do? What were the results of your actions, not what was the intent behind your actions? I would have been very pleased to have Ms. Hayes here today to speak for herself, no disrespect to counsel, about her situation, just as the former governor appeared before us on two occasions. As in all cases before us, speaking as one commissioner, when somebody, a person, indicates they are genuinely sorry for violations, that goes a long way with me toward mitigation. So far, as one commissioner, I have not heard one word of contrition directly from Ms. Hayes. So it would be possible for me to ask a question about whether Ms. Hayes has learned a lesson through all this experience, and you can paint me today as being unsure. When we face issues like this, as we have in my 2.5-plus-year tenure, I always have the two words in my mind, justice and mercy. Justice commands a full violation. Mercy may suggest less. But for mercy to exist, for there to be mitigation, there has to be a genuine expression, almost always for me in person, of someone's perception about their own conduct and apology, remorse, contrition for it. So, that's it, Mr. Chair. Thank you for your indulgence on those comments.
Executive Director Burson.
Yeah, I just wanted to go back to Commissioner Keene. You had asked about the bankruptcy, and I can tell you what I do know about it, is that my understanding that it is a 13, and that I think I said earlier that the judge is kind of waiting for an amount to put in there to work out a plan. Now, as far as the length of the plan goes, I'm not entirely sure exactly what that length of plan is, like 3 or 5 years, but I want to say I think it's 3 years. So my understanding is the court would make a plan. Let's say it adheres to that plan. At the end of the plan, whatever is left is dischargeable if you adhere to the plan. If you don't, if you miss payments, then I'm sure there's some procedure to go back to the court for reconsideration, but essentially everything, like our debt is not dischargeable in a 7, something like that, so it would be not dischargeable if they don't do the plan. So that money would still be out there. So the responsibility falls back on, I believe, Ms. Hayes, to make those payments timely to the court. But it would be the court that actually sets the payments, and and I don't know all the everything they use to make to set those payments. I'm sure it's around ability to pay and how much debt is out there and things like that. But that's my understanding is right now they're working on a 13. It is only dischargeable if you follow the plan of the 13, however the court writes it up. So, like I say, I think they did 3 or 5 years, but I think it's been 3 years.
Okay, if there are no other... yes, Commissioner O'Day.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Burson, I was curious about this dischargeable in bankruptcy issue as well. So what I heard you say, but without saying it, so I just want to make it clear, is that whatever fine this commission might impose could be reduced in that payment plan by the bankruptcy court. Is that correct? That's my understanding.
Well, again, I'm going to go back to my... Mr. Yeager, I mean, I'm not a bankruptcy attorney. In fact, I'm not any attorney at all, just to be clear. But
congratulations. Yeah. Don't even play one on TV.
Don't even play one. But my understanding is yes, that I mean, I believe that's the purpose of the bankruptcy, is that they take all your debts, put it in there, figure out a payment plan. If you make that payment plan, at the end of that, then what's left over is discharged. So, and I would suspect that this plan is no different than any other 13. So,
okay. Yes.
I am an attorney, but not a bankruptcy attorney. And from the little I remember, I also know that some contracts, unsecured contracts, are maybe unilaterally terminated as well. And I don't know if this final order would qualify as that. That's one of the reasons I would have appreciated Nick Hayes' bankruptcy attorney here, and I expected him or her to be here so we could hear that. So I think that there may be a number of ways that this either, any fine we even she even agrees to might be not only substantially reduced, but completely rejected. But I don't know, because that's the little bit I know about bankruptcy. So I'm very hesitant to vote to approve an agreement that includes reductions that fall within our matrix, but don't necessarily fall within, or would not necessarily be what I as a commissioner would vote on. When I know that in bankruptcy we could get either zero or pennies on the dollar.
Okay, Commissioner Sugar.
I guess my question is for our legal counsel. I know that there's a legal counsel that's been advising on the bankruptcy to the commission. Do you have any information about any of the issues that have been raised today and the impact of this type of settlement on the enforceability in bankruptcy or whether it can be discharged?
What I have been told is that this is that this would not be voidable, but that Ms. Hayes could file a motion to approve with the court that our bankruptcy attorney feels would be, if she did that, there would be no objection to it, and it would be entered, and that what we are looking at is pennies on the dollar. Whether it's $44,000 or $110,000 will matter very little and as a practical matter. It might matter as a symbolic matter, but as a practical matter in the bankruptcy, it would matter very little.
What do you mean by move to approve?
She could. I'm not a bankruptcy attorney either. I just asked her if this would be voidable, and she said that she did not believe so, but that we are not going to do anything further with this, but that Ms. Hayes' bankruptcy attorney could just submit it to the court. The bankruptcy court is very well aware of this, that he's been apprised of this the whole time through, that there's a settlement. And the other thing I do know about the status of the bankruptcy is that we are objecting to the plan as filed. So it's ongoing. It's uncertain what the end result will be.
So is there... I'm sorry for the additional question, Chair. Is there any way to negotiate in this, what I would prefer to be a stipulated final order, her acquiescence to having this included in the bankruptcy or something to that effect, so that there isn't a risk
that she would be seeking discharge of it later on.
And that is not a question that I can answer for you.
Okay.
That would be our bankruptcy attorney, Carolyn Wade, who could answer that.
Okay. Commissioner Keene had her hand up just a second before Commissioner started.
It's just to follow up on the, maybe another point to ask our bankruptcy attorney. I wonder if it may behoove us, and I don't know if it, we can at this point if she's in the bankruptcy, but to get some sort of security, because an agreement with no security is at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. And again, this is all bankruptcy. Perhaps you would like the bankruptcy attorney to come if this goes to another session, because these are all bankruptcy
yeah.
and not ethics
yeah.
related questions.
Right.
Commissioner Starr?
I somehow had the understanding that if a person used their office for personal gain, that we could claw back
twice
the amount. And the $110,000 doesn't approach the amount of her personal gain. So that bothers me too.
Okay. Are there other comments from commissioners? Seeing none, we'll go to a vote. Item number 20, Commissioner Fiskin.
Mr. Chair, my question to anybody who could answer it is, we can let this happen as it happens, maybe is the best approach, I guess, but what would be our action options today? Is it A, to accept, B, to turn down, and that's all, or would there be another option, I'm making this up as I go, such as, would it be possible to delay action on this item and seek the proper information from bankruptcy counsels, the state's own, as well as Ms. Hayes' counsel, to join regular counsel for Ms. Hayes, as well as potentially even Ms. Hayes at a future meeting? Is that an action we could take?
You could move to postpone. However, if this is not what you think you're going to want, ultimately, and you want them to go back to the drawing board.
Just a quick comment, and this is a non-Roberts Rules of Order comment. The risk for me of simply a motion to table or postpone without guidance as to why that action is being taken on our part strikes me as deficient, because it's just a word table or just a word postpone, and I think if we were to move in such a direction, I would be hoping for requiring more context as to why that action by us is being taken, if it is in fact to be taken. Now, I know there's Robert's Rules of Order and we just need to let motions be made and pass or fail.
It's possible to move to table the motion. Commissioner Mason.
I'll make the motion to reject the agreement.
Okay. Commissioner Mason moves that we reject the final order relating to case 14-191, Sylvia Hayes. And with that, we'll... Commissioner Sosa?
Discussion
on the motion.
I share everything that Commissioner Keene said. I'm very disappointed your client is not here. I made my own feelings known the last time this came before us when I said that I thought that she had flaunted the ethics laws of this state for years, and when she was finally held to account, decided not to show up. She's now been found to potentially have 22 violations, and again, is not here. We have questions that need to be answered, some of which could have been answered by her, yet she chose again not to be here, and continues to say, well, I never intended this. I never intended to use my position. If you look at paragraph H, it says that she used her title as First Lady when soliciting funds from Packard, Lazar, and Marisla Foundations. So I'm also not very sympathetic to the idea that she had no idea that she was using her position. She did. And I don't find her assertions to the contrary very convincing. And as I made clear, my concern is that having flaunted the ethics laws of the state for years, she is now asking for a reduction such that she's only would pay 40% of the fines that we could impose, and even then could wind up paying pennies on the dollar. So for those reasons, I support Commissioner Mason's motion to reject the stipulated final order.
Okay. Commissioner O'Day.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I too support the motion. I do want to note, however, that I think that settlement is an important tool of this commission. And in making this vote, in no way, shape, or form, am I suggesting that staff discontinue discussions. In fact, I would encourage just the opposite. I would encourage that staff continue to work with Ms. Hayes and her counsel in seeking a resolution of this matter consistent with the issues that we put on the table today and consistent with the requests of my fellow commissioners. So, again, I'm not suggesting that this needs to go to a contested case, although that may be where we ultimately end up, as I do think that settlement is still an important and valuable tool here, so long as the issues that we put on the table get addressed.
Commissioner Sugar.
So first, this is Commissioner Edwards. If you would add me in the stack, please.
Okay, you're next. You're right after Commissioner. Okay, go ahead. Commissioner Edwards, Commissioner Sugar yields to you.
Thank you. I just want to thank my fellow commissioners, particularly with legal backgrounds, for your very thoughtful questions. They really helped inform thinking on this subject, particularly in giving a little bit more light than the packet allows me to understand as I've jumped in sort of at the end of this process. And because of those great questions follow-up, I'm going to be supporting the motion as well.
Okay, thank you very much, Commissioner Edwards. Commissioner Sugar?
Thank you. I have three things. First, with respect to the vote, I will have to abstain because our department did have involvement at the front end of this matter, and I'm going to be consistent with my voting throughout these two companion cases. Two, if I were voting, I would be supporting this motion for the reason I am less concerned about the amount of the fines. But I am concerned about the genuine lack of contrition. And I'm looking at counsel for that reason because I would join Commissioner O'Day in an encouragement to our staff and to counsel to continue to discuss this matter. And I would hope, actually request, that Ms. Hayes take the time to come before us and express contrition and participate in a stipulated final order. What negotiations mean that you sometimes take one of the paragraphs out if it's objectionable and can't be stipulated to. But there are, 27 other paragraphs in there that probably could stay in. And so if I would encourage continued communication. And I would just like to see this chapter in Oregon's ethical history close with some contrition, some accountability, and that will be education for the people of our state. Thank you.
Other comments? Okay, since we're about to go to a vote here, I wanted to make my comment, didn't want to do so until discussion was concluded. People out there are hungry for people to take responsibility. People out there are hungry for authenticity. I feel like we've been gamed, or an attempt is being made to game us, and maybe game the bankruptcy court too. That's not our concern. But our mission is primarily to educate, and as Commissioner Keene said, I don't think any lesson has been learned here. I came to this meeting wanting to support this. If Ms. Hayes had been here and shown contrition and taken responsibility, it's very likely I would have been supportive of this order. But as it is, I can't. I'm sorry for holding my comments back, but while I was presiding over discussion, I didn't want to color it. But with that, I think we'll go to a roll call vote. And for clarity, an aye vote is to reject the final order. A nay vote is not to reject the final order.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Mr. Fiskum.
Aye.
Mr. Keene.
Aye.
Mr. Mason.
Aye.
Mr. O'Day.
Aye.
Mr. Sugar.
Abstain.
Mr. Sosa.
Aye.
Mr. Starr.
Aye.
Chair Burke.
Aye.
Motion passes 8-1. Excuse me, 8-0 with one abstention.
Okay. The final order is rejected, so I guess it's back to the drawing board. I hope that the parties can come together and we have a more favorable outcome at a future meeting. Okay.
It's good to meet you all. Thank you.
Thank you for your time today, both of you. Yeah. Okay. As discussed, and without objection, we changed the orders of the day to go to executive session so that folks that are wanting to speak on matters before us in executive session don't have to wait to go through the rest of the agenda. So I'm going to recess the current public meeting, and we will...